lovely to see today. It's a beautiful day as well, isn't it? Which is always nice, always gives us hope, which is kind of a bit my message today. I apologise because I'm thinking perhaps I should have organised to do something around Pentecost, and we did do that at Blaze on Friday. But you know when God speaks to you and finding hope, I don't know, it's just I felt led to do that today. So what I thought I'd do is the first bit, the sort of preamble down here, because I just find that a little bit more engaging, a bit more interactive, just to be with you, especially with the format we've got today, and a bit more interactive. And I'll come back to that word, but I will go up there when I do the important biblical stuff, because I'll need to read then. Okay, so I have got some notes here while I'm down here to keep me on track, because I know Tom said this morning I've got ages, but I can talk, so I'll try and keep a lid on it a bit. So it's funny, I'm actually here doing this morning. It's a pleasure, so thank you for having me, but it's a little bit by default, because for those of you that don't know me, I do a lot of the youth work here, and I'll come on to that in a little bit when I do more introduction. And every so often I think, oh, it'd be good if I do a little children's talk just to try and get more kids here on a Sunday. I mean, we're really successful in the week with the amount of children that come in. It's great. But Sundays have always been a bit trickier. But I always thought, well, if I sort of every so often sort of pepper a few services a year with a kids talk, sort of first part of the service, you know, it helps. And I said to Hanukkah, well, would you like me to do that? I'm free this Sunday in May. And Hanukkah said, well, actually, we haven't got a speaker that Sunday, so would you mind doing that part of the service instead? So I was like, okay, go on then. So I'm not doing a kids talk, I'm doing a talk. But it's always tricky with things like this, an all-age service. I mean, that's very, very broad, isn't it? And it's like, you know, you don't know whether you're going to get children coming in, you don't know who's going to be here. So it's like, am I pitching it for 8-year-olds, 80-year-olds, or somewhere in between? So I've sort of gone bang in the middle. So if you're around 40, it should sit perfectly, but hopefully it will extend outwards either way today. So, so interestingly, when Tom sent out the newsletter, he said Emily will be doing an interactive service today. And I almost emailed back and sort of said, oh no, I'm not doing a kids talk. Because sometimes if you have been here when I've done a kids one, I might have done some kind of game or action. I think there was one session where I did some taster things with chocolate, and I was thinking, oh no, I'm not doing anything like that. But I'm like, actually, I'm not going to correct that, because surely it should be interactive. Everything should be interactive. Job I teach as well, and I think especially in this day and age, everyone has different styles of learning, children and adults, and I've learned that just from working in the community, working with people. And actually just sitting and listening isn't always the best way for everybody, and I think it's great to be interactive. So if anybody wants to say anything at any point, if anyone has a question, I work with children, I have children, so I'm very used to my flow being interruptive. Someone puts their hand up to say something, not that you have to put your hand up, but let's be interactive. You know, if you have any thoughts, we used to go to the Baptist church, and that was quite a different style of service for us, and some people would say it's kind of a little radical in its approach. And there were times I was a bit taken aback, because actually, personally, everyone has a different relationship with God and how it sort of manifests in them, I guess. And although I'm quite a lively, talkative person, my relationship with God, it's quite peaceful and personal and private. And if I'm having time with God, I sort of spend time on my own and like real quiet just to get close to God. But when I went to the Baptist church, I quite like this, because you've got people, they feel led to sort of sing out, they'd be putting their arms up. Some people would say, hang on, can we just stop a minute, because I've just had this message, I've had this picture. And I just thought that was actually incredible, and it was just a different style, and I just love sort of seeing all different styles of service. So actually, all church really should be interactive, I think. So I was going to skip the introduction, because obviously I think most of you are familiar with chapel, so we're very blessed that we have a different speaker every week, so you get exciting people from different places, and some of them are new, so they introduce themselves. And I was thinking, oh well, I don't really need to do that, because this is my home church, everyone knows me. But actually, You probably don't, and I'm ashamed to say that there's people in this room who come here every week, like myself. I try and come here most weeks, so I probably haven't actually spoken to that much, and I apologise. Life is busy, we've got kids, sometimes we're rushing here, there and everywhere, and sometimes you just have to stop, don't you? But hopefully today we've got this fellowship lunch, and I think it's really nice to do that as a church community, or have an event every now and then just to take some time to spend time with your church people, because really the church you go to, it's a family, isn't it? It's a community. We've got a WhatsApp group for prayer, and people, if they've got something they want prayer, they pop that on the group, and I think that's really, really nice. So, you know, this is our church community. So feel free, if there's anything you would like to know about myself or my family, do feel free to ask any time. And I think as humans, you tend to gravitate towards the people you already know because it's comfortable, but actually it's great to speak to somebody different, isn't it? So I'm Emily, obviously, and married to Neil, have Luke and Jude. Luke's recently started doing the tech here, which has been brilliant, but today I've asked him to do another role a bit later on. Also got my lovely mum here today, as Tom said earlier, and what a blessing, amen. I mean, she was in hospital for 6 weeks and 89 years old, look how well she looks. So it's amazing to have her here today. Do two jobs. I'm a drama teacher as well, so work with children and kids doing that, and producing shows. We're working towards a big one coming up at the Roses in the summer, which is exciting. And I also do this role, which I started it in lockdown, so that was a challenging time for all of us, I think, and certainly a role where you're sort of outreaching and arranging events. So I think it was more the outreach side then, but since we've been back, yeah, I mean, the youth work's gone really well. The three main things that I do sort of regularly are Dinkies, which has obviously been going for years, and it's a legacy, you know, Noreen and Keith, and it's an honour to carry that on, and it's always busy, it's always thriving with people. And now we've got the youth club as well, and a lot of the Dinkies are... youth club's got younger and younger because a lot of the Dinkies are saying, can my older one come? And I'm like, yeah, let's go for it. So it was started off sort of meant to be youth, as in older youth, but I've got children as young as 5 there, but actually it's great because they'll grow with the chapel, hopefully. So we do that on Fridays when we can. And then the other main event I do is sort of reaching out to the special needs families, which has been actually very exciting. And it's because we moved to this area 9 years ago, believe it or not, and myself and my family started coming to this chapel then. It was Gemma Hall reached out to us. I think she was doing a similar role at the time to what I'm doing now, and she was so friendly, one of the first people we met, and I brought the children along, and we absolutely loved it, and everybody was so friendly. But the challenge I had at the time, I had two very, very small children. Tricky. So we did go to the Baptist church for a few years, but I think it's amazing how it's sort of come full circle, and I've ended up coming back here and doing the youth work, which the children are very involved in, and they now are old enough to be able to help facilitate things as well, so that's great. Testimony wise, that's a lot of people come up here and they talk a little bit about their journey, don't they? So I thought I probably should do that. Forgive me if you've heard this already, I'll try and keep it brief, but I don't think so. With a testimony, it's really difficult to pinpoint exactly when to start a story, because you can't give your entire life story, really. And everyone's journeys with faith are different. People start at different times. But actually, mine is quite simple, because it started before I was born. And I think it's really poignant that Mum is here today, because she will verify this. So Mum had me. She won't mind me sharing this. She was my age when I was born, which now, if I was to have a baby now, I'm not. That's absolutely not happening. But you wouldn't really bat an eyelid, because women do have babies in their 40s now and have careers first, and the worlds have changed. But at the end of 1978, which is when I was born, you didn't really get people, a lot of people didn't have babies in their 40s then. I think there's people who are similar age to Mum here, so if you maybe have a think about how old your children would have been at the end of 1978, probably a little older than a newborn baby, perhaps. So I think at that time, doctors as well didn't view it as a very good thing to have a baby at that age. There was this terrible misconception that if you did, then there was likely to be something wrong with the baby, which we know now is not true. But I think she was told, weren't you, quite sternly, actually, no, you shouldn't have this child. And Mum knew, she had a really strong Christian faith, and Mum knew deep down, she knew that she was meant to have a baby. And my dad was a lot younger, but so, you know, he was sort of the more sort of what you'd say was the suitable age to have a child, but because Mum had already had two boys who were a lot older than me, you see. And Dad was really shocked at the news because it wasn't part of his plan at the time. But Mum strongly knew that she was going to have a baby, and she knew it was going to be a girl. And she's always told me this story. She said, you know, God really, really spoke to me and told me that I was going to have a healthy baby girl. And here I am. So thank you, God, for that. So, I mean, we can all say that God gives us life, but I think that's quite literal. And so grew up, obviously, Mum had a very strong faith. Dad didn't. And I spoke a bit about this in his eulogy. But I believe towards the end of his life, he was going that way. And I do believe he's with the Lord now. But it was quite conflicting growing up. So it's a little confusing. And Mum took me to lots of different churches. We moved around a lot. So I was talking about different styles of service, and we tried loads of different ones, and it was really interesting actually. And I used to go on like the Christian holiday camps, and I believe it gave me a really good foundation. I'm not going to lie, in my 20s I lost my way a little bit, like people do. I made some bad choices at times, not really bad choices, but not necessarily God choices. And I think even now, sorry Tom. I think I think even now, you know, we all can make the wrong choices sometimes, and that's usually when we're leaning on our own thoughts. But when I make God choices, they are definitely the right ones. And I think my journey like strengthened really when we had the children, and I really felt it was important to give them strong Christian foundations. Because even when I was, you know, my journey might have deviated slightly when I was doing other things in my life, but I always knew God was real. I always had God in my life, and I would always pray. Sometimes at the time I probably didn't pray as often as I should, but when I needed something I prayed, which was wrong, but I knew where to go. That's the thing, and that's never stopped. And I want the children, whatever journeys they choose to take, to have those same foundations. And before we actually went to an Anglican church down in Poole. So interestingly, the boys were christened when they were little, but we chose, when we moved up here, we just gravitated more towards Baptist style, which is like that. So, you know, they can make those decisions.
You haven't said that David said, I don't want any children, we're having a wonderful life. We don't want any children, because you had two boys before.
Well, yeah, I kind of alluded to that, didn't I? Yeah. Yeah.
Thy will be done. And this voice came to me and said, don't worry, everything's been taken care of.
Absolutely.
He said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I came back, but he said, could we have that child?
Yeah,
it was. He absolutely adored you.
He did, and he was a very loving dad.
And I completely let go and let God.
Well, that's it, isn't it? That's when we clap that. Okay, right, I am going to venture up here. I think I'm going to stop talking for a bit, and I'm going to ask the boys to come up and read from Romans, if that's okay, boys. So we're going to be looking at Romans 5, verses 1 to 12. So you've each got a section you want to read, haven't you? Are you... Wherever you like, where people can see and hear you, I think.
Okay. Faith brings joy. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength and character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for our sinners. Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. If someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God.
Brilliant. Thank you, boys. Beautiful. That was, I don't know what version you've got up there. That's what we used in New Living Translation for that. But that's a powerful message, isn't it? That just stood out to me when I just really felt in my heart that I wanted to look at hope today, because the bigger picture in the world, and also some things that have in our own personal lives that have been happening, and I just thought, you know, hope is a real strong thing. So as Christians, we're told that actually we need to be a bit vulnerable and be honest sometimes and say I'm not okay, because there's this stiff upper lip British thing, isn't there, where how are you, I'm fine, and just leave it there. But actually, as Christians, and I hope that everyone in this room has strong Christian friends around them that you can really talk to and say, look, I'm struggling, can you help me, can you pray with me? And I will tell you, I'll share with you, I had a little bit of a crisis of confidence about this today. I'm absolutely fine with public speaking. There's no problem with that. But we get people up here who are, they have a really strong theological background. They've been to Bible college. They've studied all of this. I haven't done that. My background's performing arts. That was my degree. My biblical knowledge could be a lot better. It really could. I try and do what I can. I can't just quote a Bible verse here, there, and any. There's a few that I know that are stuck in my mind. I know a little bit. But look, I am the person who goes on holiday, to a Christian holiday every summer. We go to this lovely resort in France. It's fantastic. And it's great for the kids. The youth's brilliant. We can't go on holiday anywhere else because the kids just keep wanting to go back. But I'm the one that says to Neil, we have to make friends with the vicar, because quiz night, you know, when they do the Bible round, I don't want to look silly, so yeah, let's team up with the vicar. So, you know, I did think, can I do the whole, I have done this twice before here, and I feel a great privilege. But I always, you know, you hear these people who've just had all this training, and I'm like, well, should I be doing this? But then I'm like, actually, why not? Because it's not just about what you've learned, it's about how you feel. And I feel I have a really close relationship with God. I feel that I can't really, it's, as I say, my relationship with God, I suppose, is a little bit insular, which is very different to me as a person, but I get this real peace in my heart. I get this real closeness with God when I talk to him. I don't get pictures very often, or occasionally I get a Bible verse, you've got to read this, and I read it. But usually it's just a deep, deep peace. And because I'm quite a person that's here, there, and everywhere, it's such a strong feeling. And that's why for me, I'm like, you know, God is real. There's no denying that. And that's why I'm like, actually, yes, I have every right to stand up here, because I'm a person who's got that strong faith. And whatever's going on, and however hard things are, that faith has always got me through. So I think this is a lovely reading. And I just want to look a little bit deeper. Have you still got it? Can we put it back up there? Just because I just want to just read between the lines a little bit. Because what I've come to realise when I was doing this, this was the main one I wanted to use as the reading, because it really stood out to me. But actually, the Bible is littered with messages of hope. Peppered with messages of hope. And isn't that amazing that there is somewhere to go, that you can just find these wonderful, inspiring words, you know? And it's like, why actually don't we pick up our Bibles more and do it? And I'm gonna I'll just talk about this one a little bit more detail, and then I've got a few short ones just to go through the places in the Bible that I've just found these really strong messages of hope. So the first line in this, what I was just saying about my relationship with God and the peace, and I'm sure whatever your relationship with God is and how it comes to you, you still get that peace, that Holy Spirit, that real deep peace. And the first line of this, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace because of what God's done. And because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of privilege where we stand and look forward to sharing God's glory. And it's one of those, you have to believe it to see it. The more you believe, the more you trust, the more you do see. Because, you know, you can have a wall up, but you're not going to, you might say, oh, well, God's not listening to me. Well, you have to let him in. You have to give him time to do the work he needs to do. And when we have the problems are there to help us develop endurance. I like this in here because, you know, sometimes think, well, why is this happening to me? Really? Well, why is this going on in my life right now? This is not what I need. But actually, life is a journey and life is a lesson. And yes, we have some amazing moments, but it's not meant to be easy. God doesn't want us to be idle. And he wants us to develop the strength of character to make us who we are. And character and relationships is what we take into heaven with us. Nothing else, nothing material. So he wants us to have that strength of character. And, you know, we have to go through trials sometimes, but he'll be there. He'll sort it out for us in the end. But sometimes it's not immediate because there's things we need to work through. So that's really sort of opened my eyes up to that. And at the end of this, I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit because I think that is so powerful. And then the rest of this, it just goes on basically to say that we can really have this wonderful relationship with God. Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. I mean, how amazing is that? Okay, and then we continue in Romans, and he reverts right back to what happened in Genesis, because if you read on from 12, and we don't need it up on the screen or anything, but I'll just quickly read the next bit. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned, and we all sin. We do. We're human beings, but we're forgiven now. That's the thing. And yes, people sinned before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was no law to break yet. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit command of God as Adam did. So Adam is now a symbol. We often refer to Adam. And he's a representation of Christ who was yet to come. But there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. Now, that's a huge message of hope. I mean, where else can you find hope like that? And I've got a few minutes left, haven't I? I just want to just go through a couple more messages of hope. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Okay. Psalm 39:7. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So if you feel on your own, as we all do sometimes for many different reasons, he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. God is a constant in a changing, ever-changing, unpredictable world. God is a constant. Corinthians 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Well, actually, yeah, it is, but they're all great. Faith and hope and love. And God loves us, all of us, more than we could ever know if we let him. But we could know it more if we have the courage to draw closer to him and put that trust in his good name, because we can all forget when we're doing our own thing and, you know, thinking about what we need to do. But actually, we have to put that aside, because when I just try and go my own way, let's face it, that's when things go wrong. But actually, when I do seek God first, that's when the paths are straight. And, you know, read these positive notes that are written in the Bible, because everybody wants some positivity. And like the little daily bread readings are great because you get one every day, or there's the other one that you have, Mum, the little booklets you get every day, and you read a different reading, and they're great because they're bite-sized. But all through the Bible, knowing where to find them, I'm just giving a few examples, but they're everywhere, really. And rest in him and be peaceful even when there are storms. Because it's one thing to have the peace when everything's good, but what about when times are turbulent? What do we do then? Does anyone want to say, well, as a human example of what we might do when things go wrong? Anyone want to say?
Get more hectic and manic normally.
Yeah? Anything else?
Depressed.
Yeah. Panic, get angry, get depressed, feel bitter, sad, blame other people. It's all very well to feel the peace when the seas are calm, but when they are rough, that is when we need him most. And if we trust him and lean on him, then we will still feel that peace and calm. It's pity Gemma Wilcox isn't here today, because this is her favourite. She said that this is her favourite Bible verse, and I can see why. It's Proverbs 3:5-6, very well known. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. That's another clue, isn't it? A simple instruction which is easy to follow. So let's just, why not do this? Let's try and take this thought away and just remember to just, he's your best friend. Confide in him whenever you need. He's always available. He's never too busy. He's never doing something else and, oh, I can't come to the phone right now. I'm sorry, I've got to do this. I'll call you later. I've got this and this and this. He's there for all of us all of the time. So, yeah, just let him in. I think it's just a really positive message. So I think we should pray. Lord, I thank you for this time today. I thank you for everyone we have here, and I just want to pray on everybody here. I want to pray peace, and Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit will be upon us right now, so we can just feel a deep sense of peace. We can all just feel that peace and calm in our hearts right now, because it's just such an amazing feeling, and we can just strongly feel your presence and feel so blessed to have you, and it just makes us actually just stop what we're doing in this rat race of a world and just think, wow. So just be really quiet and still for a minute and just feel your presence, Lord. I thank you for all this wonderful food, all this provision that you've given us, and I just pray that we have a really lovely time together and we're able to just get to know one another better and talk to somebody new and engage with someone and find out their story and, you know, just see this as a real time of fellowship together in our home church, which is like a family. And I just pray, Lord, that this week everyone in this room and their families can find that peace and find that hope, because, Lord, you are that hope. Amen.